Most business stories are about momentum, getting bigger, moving faster, finding the exit. Well, this week's guest, Claire Locke, has spent 25 years doing something harder than any of that. She stayed. She built a design studio from a small town in the Murray Coast, worked with clients from BMW to businesses just like yours, and never left. I'm Drew Hendry, and this is Growth for Good. Hello, Claire.
Hi, Drew.
Well, thanks for joining us on the podcast. Your story is really interesting because you're someone who has been consistently producing quality work for a long period of time. That what we hope to find out is that your driver and is that what it's all about. But before that, you started your business in Oxford in 1999 and then you moved to Portnockey in 2005. Quite a few people do that with businesses. I did that myself. But what was it that that brought you to the Highlands as opposed to anywhere else?
Oh, gosh. Well, we were living in Oxford. Loved Oxford. Didn't think we would ever leave. And then my mum moved up here and we'd never been to Scotland before. So we started visiting her. She lived in Port Gordon, just outside of Bucky. And the more we came, the more we liked it. And we started having conversations about we could retire here, couldn't we? What a nice place to retire. And then we came up one summer and had such a good time. We really didn't want to go home. So on the plane home, we decided that was it. We were going to sell up and move.
Just like that?
Just like that. So that was in the June and we sold our house in Oxford relatively quickly and we were up here by September.
So a lot of people would, you know, if they're doing work like yours, I mean, I want to ask you about Clock Studio in a second, but a lot of people, if they're doing work like yours, which is design heavy, which is looking for, you know, clients to engage, would think staying in a city or a big, big town like Oxford would be the place to stay and do that business.
Yeah.
You know, did you have any kind of fears when you moved the business?
I didn't really. I guess I knew I could work with my clients I still had in Oxford. I had a very good relationship with them. I was a preferred supplier for BMW Manufacturing UK and for Biffa Waste Services. So I knew they both would continue to keep me busy. And the hope was that I would get Scottish clients. I guess I probably hadn't really thought it through and just thought, well, I'll just be and it will be fine and carry on what I've been doing for the past 6 years in Oxford.
Well, it was a lucky chance for us that you took. Tell us about, before we go any further, tell us about Clock Studio and what you do there and what your guiding principles are.
So Clock Studio is a design studio. I've always loved design right from at school. So I went off to art college and did a graphic design degree. And worked for a couple of design studios just to find my feet really in the design world because you come out of college thinking you know everything and quickly realise you don't know anything. So I spent a few years learning the craft, I guess, at various design studios and how to liaise with printers and do quoting and all that kind of thing. And I think that set me up really well then to move on and set up my own studio, which came off the back of having worked for a company, I guess, that I thought didn't treat its clients particularly well. And it made me realise that actually, I think I could do this and treat them well and give them a good service. So that's what I did. And I started working from our small back bedroom. My mum lent me the money to buy a computer and that was me up and running. And I remember sitting there the first day sort of twiddling my thumbs thinking, well, what am I going to do now? and going to my first networking meeting and thinking, nobody's going to take me seriously. I've only just set up. So, I'm producing primarily print work for clients because I guess I started old school before the internet was a big thing. I've concentrated on print material. So things that a business needs to communicate better to their own clients. So leaflets, brochures, logo design, pull up banners. And I think even now with social media and the print, the online world as it is, print is still a requirement. You go to any exhibition, people have still got leaflets and brochures they want to give you and business cards.
Has it in some ways become more of a requirement because of the absolute volume online?
Do you know, I think we're coming full circle. I think because when email first came out, it was quite a novelty and everybody switched to using emails. Now we're bombarded with emails. People are sort of going back to sending mail shots and doing draw drops and, you know, leaflet drops and brochures. So it's an interesting one. I think, say, print is certainly not dead.
And you talked about some really big clients there, BMW manufacturing and others. What do you feel it is about your work that attracts that level of client? And of course, I know you work with all kinds of clients, but it's very small businesses.
I think it's been the personal touch. I've had comments before where companies have worked with larger agencies and they have to speak to a receptionist or a salesperson. They never actually get to speak to the actual designer. It's always gone through, you know, two or three other people. And certainly the studios I've worked with, I never spoke to the clients. It would be the salesperson that would go out and take a brief and then come back and tell you what the job was. So I think being able to work directly with a client is far more successful. You get much better results because you don't get any misinterpretation along the way.
Well, I want to talk about, as I said, I want to talk about Portnochy and being in the Highlands here and follow up on that point you've just made. You know, you've said about that personal relationship with clients. What does Portnochy give you in terms of an advantage that being in Oxford wouldn't, both for your business and for your personal life?
The great outdoors. I mean, I go for a walk every lunchtime. That's my thinking time. It generally isn't to anything. It's just the waves and the birds and the sounds.
And does that help you, the creative process? I mean, I suppose I'm quite interested in what you were talking about there with the personal touch. Because my contention would be that people living and working here have, you know, let's not say we've got the best or anything, but we tend to have a better way of communicating with people and generate a higher level of trust with businesses. Yeah. Do you think that's true?
Yes.
Yeah, I do. Would you have any examples of where that's happened, or would you have any thoughts on that?
Not specific examples. I just think, like, meeting people face to face. I mean, I know I could work with companies anywhere, you know, all over the globe, but I specifically choose to keep it very local because I think meeting face to face, you glean so much more information. All the subtleties of a business, you know, when you go into someone's office, you know, what they've got on their desk, what pictures they've got, what they're wearing, that say there are so many things you can pick up on that they're probably not aware of.
And it's really important, isn't it, to make that personal connection, as you said, and being where you are aids that. But there must have been times when you thought, God, this is quite difficult. Have there ever been any times you thought, no, I'm going to leave, I'm going to go
somewhere? We absolutely love it here. We don't even like going back down to visit. And we still, both my husband and I, we've both still got family in Oxford and area. And yeah, we go down as little as possible.
And then you're back as quickly as you possibly can.
Absolutely. We love travelling, but we love coming home.
Okay. And obviously, you do have a distance issue. I mean, just even coming for this conversation, you've got an hour each way, travelling today. There'll be many times. I know you're a big networker, believer in networking, so you're off to different events and things like that. Do you ever kind of find the travelling difficult, or is there an issue with that?
No, I mean, because Portnochy is bang in the middle between Aberdeen and Inverness.
So actually strategically.
Yeah, it's an hour and a half in each direction. So I tend to do network in both directions. I think it's never been an issue. You just factor it in. And I try, you know, if I'm coming into Inverness, I try and see more than one person at a time. Or say piggyback it onto networking or say something else. So it makes it a productive day. So it's not a wasted day at the office.
Claire, you've worked with some big businesses, as I've mentioned, BMW. There's also been clients like KFC and Biffa and a range of much smaller businesses across the Highlands and beyond that you've worked with. What's the most common let me rephrase that. When you're putting designs together, what do you think the most important thing is that you have to communicate to the client before you start doing work for them?
Trust. I want them to trust me as a designer and that the advice I'm going to give them is, you know, the best option. It's really hard when you're in a business to trust it to somebody else. So I'd like to hope that they would trust. A bit like finding a good hairdresser or a dentist, you know?
So, once people trust you, they're with you,
And then I think sort of further down the line is consistency, that once they have a design, that they need to use it consistently in everything they do.
And what's the most common misconception people have about design?
A misconception. I suppose people don't realize the importance of it. It's how people recognize your product or service. I think it is really important that, I mean, say at the start of a business, if you can invest in a good design, it will set you up for years. I've worked with a number of clients that they're still using their logo I designed for them 25 years ago, which is a great, test of time. I think it's the importance of it is undervalued.
And design goes way back into history, doesn't it?
It does.
You know, people used to buy just from pictures before many people could read.
Yeah.
That was the way they did
it
their
was. Comments. So it's been around a long time. I think it's one of those things that subconsciously you probably don't notice. But, I mean, colour is hugely important. And say you mention, what's the colour of Cadbury's? Everyone knows it's purple. What's the colour of Sainsbury's? Everybody knows it's orange. So that association with brand and colours.
And the colours, am I right in saying they evoke different responses? So you mentioned Cadbury's, that purple's supposed to be a luxury, right?
Black is also associated with luxury. Blue is safe, so sort of accountants and banks are predominantly blue. It's an interesting...
So that's fascinating. So people are watching and listening just now, and they go and look at all the different apps, they'll probably see those colours being used. So, we've talked about... the fact that the people maybe don't appreciate the importance of design sometimes. A lot of people do, obviously.
Yeah.
Your clients clearly do, especially when you've got finished work for them. But there must be times when you sit down with a client and you've got to tell them a hard truth about, what they've currently got. How difficult is that professionally? If I expand that a wee bit, when you've got your professional judgment and their emotional attachment to something they've already got, how do you handle that?
I think once you start working with a client, they're generally on board with what you want to do for them. I think it's prior to that when you see you could really help somebody. It's almost impossible to tell them. I've had a couple of instances where I've really had my fingers burnt trying to like being at a networking event and someone gives you a leaflet and you want to say to them, if you did this, this and this, this would look so much better.
Do you ever pick something up and go, my goodness, that's horrible?
Well, in my head.
Yes, of course.
I have tried it a couple of times and it's gone badly. So you almost have to wait for people to come to you. It is really hard to say to people what you've got is actually damaging your business because you don't look professional or it's just you could be doing so much better.
Mm-hmm. So, how do you have those difficult conversations with clients? When because there must be times, regardless of how much you've said you're trying to build a relationship, build trust, people will commission you, so they've already bought into what you're doing. But there must be times when you have to go, somebody's come and said, "No, I really, really want this," but you're going, "I don't want to produce that piece of work because it reflects on me."
Difficult one, and sometimes. I mean, I really do try and steer people in the right direction and suggest alternatives or visualise it so they can see it. And sometimes you just have to give in, unfortunately, and do what they want. I mean, they're paying the bill at the end of the day. But it is really hard and it's difficult because you want to be proud of everything you produce. And I want to be able to show it to people and put it on my website and, put my name to it and say it. Sometimes it doesn't work. I think I'm better at it now. I've been doing it longer. Certainly at the start, you just kind of have to go with it.
And what's that feeling like when you're talking with a client and you've got them past those points of disagreement or, you've been able to persuade them to leave their emotionals side behind and you've got something really good for them. When they get the finished work and they're pleased with it.
Oh, it's really rewarding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still get a real buzz of seeing my work out in the wild, as it were. To see it being used and used well. For a number of years. It's really rewarding.
What's the best response you've had to work?
I've had a couple of clients actually cry. Like when you go and present their like logo designs or something. Yeah. I've had a couple. I've actually cried, which I think is really like...
So good they cried.
Yeah. It's obviously quite overwhelming. I've never been on that side of the fence, so I don't really know. But yeah, to have a response like that, I think, well, I've obviously hit the mark if that's the response.
And that's a fantastic response. If they're crying for the reasons which you've said they are. What does good design mean to me? What does it change for a business?
I think it's about brand awareness. It makes you more visual to other people, to your own clients. It kind of puts you on the map. I think to have a strong visual look, I mean, you say we've talked about how you recognise the big brands. There's no reason why a small brand can't be recognisable as well. I think you say if you're using it well and putting it on every touch point that a person comes into contact with you, from your email signature to signage, leaflets, brochures, I think it can be really powerful in doing your marketing for you.
So you talked earlier about the fact that you get together with people, you build trust and so forth, and you build that relationship, and people get obviously respond in an emotional way, and you've created something that becomes emotionally part of their brand. And you've said it kind of touches everything. Do you think it changes the way they think about their business if there's good design?
Yeah, definitely.
So give me an example.
I just think it makes everything more professional. I think their whole imposter syndrome is still a thing.
The old imposter syndrome pops up everywhere.
I think so many people suffer from it. And I think if you've got a really professional looking, even when you give out a business card at a networking event, if it looks professional, it just elevates you personally.
So would you describe getting your brand and displaying it properly as almost like a suit of armour for going out in the business arena?
It's what people see before they've engaged with you or your product. It's the first thing they see. And quite often they'll see it several times before, say, they will buy whatever it is you're selling.
So 27 years in business, of doing that for people, providing them with their suits of armour for going out into the world of commerce, it can't have all been easy. There must have been times when you've had to face challenges. So tell me about those, and also tell me about one thing you wish you'd known when you started that you now know.
Okay. Challenges, I guess. I think I've only had one point where I thought maybe I should give it up and get a proper job. just when things have gone very quiet and you kind of think, is this it? I haven't got any work on. Where's the next client coming from? I think over the years, I've learned to embrace the quiet periods and know that it does pick back again.
That's a really important point to pick up with you, because a lot of people in business don't necessary when they start off, and a lot of new founders have been involved in Growth for Good, they don't really realize when you start off there will be times when it's going to seem really quiet, and the successful ones tend to kind of be able to work through it and move forward. So you were saying that was a time when you thought about that. Was that quite a serious thought, or were you
particularly? My husband was very like, no, stick it out, I'm sure it'll pick back up again. He's my biggest cheerleader. And he was right, it did pick back up again. And I know like the summer is quite often quiet for me. As soon as the schools go on holiday, things do quiet down. And say I've just learned to embrace it and enjoy having a bit of time to myself before it all kicks off again in September.
So in that 27 years, and the vast proportion of them here in the Highlands, you've never really had, with the exception of a little wobble here or there, feeling you might go off and do something else. Let's turn back to the strengths of what you're doing and how you're taking things forward. You seem to have had a clear determination that you, and this is quite unusual for Growth for Good, because we're normally talking about people scaling up a bit. You seem to have had a clear determination to keep your business at the same size and not necessarily grow it beyond your own personal capacity and your ability to produce good work. Mm-hmm. Why was that?
I don't know if it was intentional. When I first started the business, and as a small business, everyone thinks that you're going to grow and delegate and employ people. And I did try employing a part-time person when I was down in Oxford. It lasted about 6 months, and it was at that point I thought, actually, this is not what I want at all. And I have tried using freelancers, so I would sort of work out. And then the clients would come back and say, well, this doesn't look like your work. And I'd be, oh, damn. So I think, say, clients come to me because they like my work, they like my design style. So, yeah, it has been very intentional to keep it.
So this is
just
almost,
me.
this is almost the way you're describing it. It's almost like, and I'll say this because I imagine you wouldn't use this term. It sounds almost like what you're doing is producing art, and this is in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah.
And when somebody can spot fake in the marketplace, if it's not a clock studio original, they're interested. So you've made the decision that you're going to just focus on quality.
Mm-hmm.
And so that must mean sometimes you have to turn work away.
I don't say yes to everything.
No.
I think that's something else I've learned over the years, that it's okay to say no.
Mm-hmm.
If something isn't a good fit, say no to it, mm-hmm. because ultimately the results, you know, they don't work. So if you don't feel it with a client.
Have you had that time where you've looked, this is quite a big package of money they're offering here for doing this, or this could be quite substantial. I could work and build around that. If you had to go, I'm really tempted, but I'm going to just turn it.
There was a company that I'd had my eye on and thought they would be really good to work with. I really liked their stuff. And I got an opportunity to go in and meet with them. And within the first 10 minutes, I thought, your values are so different to mine, this isn't going to work.
Mm.
So, yeah, I did say no.
And that, is that an important thing for you? Because, again, that's one of the interesting things we talk on Growth for Good is about the values of companies.
Yeah.
Do you have, I mean, probably not a stated policy, but do you have in your head people, companies, values that you just won't work with?
Not specifically, but I think you just get a gut feel. Mm-hmm. I think because I'm generally working one-to-one with somebody, you've got to get on with the person. There has to be some connection. And I think it just works better if you get on with the person.
And what do you feel your values are in business?
Honesty, definitely. I like people to get value for money. I'm not going to sell them a big, you know, glossy brochure if that's not what they're needing, you know, with a print run of 2,000 that are going to sit under a desk somewhere for years. I'm always very honest with my clients about what they need and what they should have. That's probably the main one.
It's a pretty good value to start with, yeah. So when you're being, you know, people are coming to you asking for work, sometimes you just said you go out and look for work.
Mm-hmm.
What's your kind of ideal client?
An ideal client is someone who gets the value of design, that can see the benefit in it for their business. And if there's something I'm interested in, even better. You know, I love travel, anything outdoorsy. So, yeah, anything like that is a good client.
Following on from that, obviously you're really involved, but being that one person doing all of that work, mm-hmm. producing that quality, where does Clear end and Clock Studio begin and vice versa?
I think after being in business for so long, I am Clock Studio. That's it. There is not much differentiation between the two. I'm always thinking a bit about design and it's always in my head wherever I am, whatever you're looking at.
So that's really interesting. So describe that. When you wake up in the morning, are you thinking design, or is it, have you got to get the dogs out or whatever?
You know, we don't have dogs.
Get the cats out or whatever.
I'm either thinking about what I'm working on that day, or you see something online and think, oh, that's nicely designed, or not nicely designed, whichever way it goes. So,
So that's like a waking process for you. So, I mean, that's a sign of doing something you love, clearly.
Yeah.
And I think that's come through in a conversation that you...
I do still love it.
You adore the work you're doing, and fortunately, your clients adore the work you produce as well. So that completes that circle for you. But the reason I asked that question about where does mm-hmm. Clear start and end and Clock Studio start and end is that it must change you in a way, being so involved in doing something so personally for so long.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel it's changed?
I'm not sure. That's quite a hard question.
Well,
I'm more visually aware. I mean, yeah, my husband says, oh, gosh, you know, you're always looking at stuff, which I am. And now he's started doing it, which is even worse.
So that, it's again, interesting following that up, that stopping and looking around thing.
Yeah.
Because you talked about being really busy clients. What's your time like now compared to when you started?
My work-life balance is so much better now. I think initially when I started, a lot of new businesses, you throw everything into it, working silly hours. I used to do a newsletter for BMW that was every month. So if we wanted to go away, it had to be slotted in between doing this newsletter. And that I did that for over 6 years. Whereas now I'm very much, I plan holidays and then book in the work around it. So, yeah, work-life balance, I feel, got pretty sussed now, but it took a very long time to get there.
So that's been part of your learning journey, is actually how do you balance these things out? And do you find now, because I think this will be interesting for early founders as well, do you find now that that thinking time helps you be more productive when you apply work? Because again, one of the themes that we've asked many founders about, and people have come onto the podcast, is about how they de-stress, how they take time out. Clearly, you love being out in the outdoors.
I do.
Is there anything else you do to do that? And does it help you in the work?
I think the travelling helps. Mm. Really enjoy travelling. And I think just seeing what other countries are doing in the world of design is very beneficial. You're gleaning ideas.
So what's your favourite place that you've travelled to get inspiration?
Japan. Yeah, love Japan. It's very visual, and I think because you can't read the language it's all about the symbols and the colors and the vibrancy. Fascinating place.
And it is design central. Anybody who's been to Japan or even just seen, I don't know, for example, bullet trains or whatever, you can see that design is actually very punctual.
I think there's a train of thought that good design goes unnoticed, which is very true. I mean, if you're walking around a hospital and the signage is good, you know where you're going, you don't really notice it. If it's bad and you're lost and you can't find your way, it's because the signage is bad. So good design should go unnoticed.
And talking about that, you know, bringing it back to the Highlands here, what do you think is the underlying design principle for the Highlands? What would you say is, if somebody was visiting here and looking for inspiration, what do you think they would see here?
Generally, it's quite good. Mm-hmm. I think it's got better over the years. When we first moved here 20 years ago, I think possibly a bit behind the times. It has improved. And I think, generally, it's pretty good.
Good. And so you've 27 years under your belt. You've been a long time in Port Nockey. You're still, continuing to do this quality work that you've produced. What's next for you? Is it just more of the same?
More of the same, I think. I do really enjoy what I do. So I've got some great clients that come back to me for regular work. And then I still do a lot of networking to meet new people. I like meeting people. I think working by yourself, it's good to get out and meet people. Networking has always been a huge part of my business and will continue to be.
Well, this podcast is called Growth for Good. What does growth for good mean to you?
I think growth for good is enjoying what you do and being happy in what you do and getting that work-life balance to a place you're happy with. Because, I just think life's too short.
Claire Locke, Clock Studio, thank you very much indeed for joining me on the Growth for Good podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Well, my thanks to Claire Locke from McClock Studio there. Really interesting to speak to a business owner who isn't really necessarily looking for business growth or to scale up. It's quite a diversion for us on Growth for Good to talk to somebody like that. But what's clear is that she does want to scale up the quality and continue to deliver that. If you've enjoyed this podcast, and you can like it and subscribe to it either on YouTube or on one of the other channels where you can find it, please do so. It helps other people to find the podcast and share in these stories as well. In the meantime, I'm Drew Hendry. Thank you for listening and watching, and I'll see you on the next episode of Growth for Good.